Well, good morning. My name is Kirk, and I'm one of the pastors at Crossbridge. You know, that song, something about that song. Well, one reason I asked Brian, I said, let's sing it this week. And what I'd like you to do is get on Spotify or get on iTunes or whatever and download that song. What's it called?
Resurrection Power.
Resurrection Power. Who sings it besides us? Chris Tomlin. All right. So download Tomlin's Resurrection Power so that next week we can sing that thing and just blow the roof off the place, okay? Next week's super important because a ton of people are going to come to Crossbridge. Like 2,000 will be here on Sunday and across our four services. And some of them will never be, maybe the only time they come and they hear about the love of Jesus. And what we want to do as a church is we want them not just to hear me talking, we want them to feel the love that we're talking about. That's what we want. We want them to feel it. So I want you to come learn that song, and let's just go after it. You know, one of the cool things about it, I don't know, well, I lost him, okay. But it said, I am dressed in royalty or something like that, didn't it? I'm dressed in royalty. Your spirit lives within me. What in the world does that mean? Jesus is the king. God is our king. And when he calls us his children, he brings us into a spiritual royalty with him. And so it's right for us to sing that line because our Father's the king. And so he makes us royalty with his spirit living within us. Man, it's good. It's good. Well, we've been walking through the book of Acts. And this week, you know, every week, I don't have it with me, but that bulletin, that sheet of paper you get when you come in, it has a Bible study on it. It lists six verses that I'm going to preach on the following week. Or if you have the Crossbridge app, there's a button, Bible study, and it will take you to the precise verses that I'm going to be preaching on the next week. And so I want you to get that and be in the Word this week. You will grow so much more if you're in the Word with me. But this week we're in Acts chapter 4. If you missed last week because of spring break and a lot of us were out, let me bring you up to speed. Peter and John, disciples of Jesus, had walked into the temple to pray. This is Acts chapter 3. And as they're walking in, they see this beggar on the steps. And this guy has not walked since birth, born with a deformity. And so every day, someone puts him on the temple steps to beg for money. And it's obviously working because he's there every single day, Luke tells us, who's the author of Acts. And so this time, Peter and John, they're walking up the steps. They see this guy, and they look at him, but he's not looking at them. He's looking down, because that's what shame does to people. And Peter says to him, look at me. And the man lifts his eyes to Peter. Same thing we need to do. We need to lift our eyes to Jesus. Take our eyes off ourselves. Take our eyes off our hurts, our wants, our needs. Jesus is the answer for all of those things. You need to lift your eyes to him. So this lame guy does that. He looks up at Peter and John, and they say, we don't have money, we don't have silver, we don't have gold, but what we do have, we will give you. And they say, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And this guy, who has never walked in his life, they help him up, and his ankles, which is the problem, become whole and healthy, and he can walk. He's ecstatic. People are astonished. They're all coming around going, oh my gosh, because they've seen this dude at the temple steps all these years. So they come up to Peter and John thinking they're amazing. And Peter says immediately, do not think that it's by our own power that we were somehow able to do this. Don't think it's because we're more righteous or more pious than anybody else that we can do this. This has been done through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, Peter begins to tell them the good news about Jesus. And just to be clear, the good news about Jesus is more than just he's the healer who can fix our physical problems. It is about Jesus who comes and takes upon himself, like a substitute for us. He takes our guilt from having broken God's laws. He takes our guilt upon himself, making us whole and clean so that we can be reconciled to God. That's what he's doing. So Peter tells all the people that have gathered around, all about this. And that's a good point. Often when Jesus heals or when somebody gets healed in the Bible, it's so that people will now listen to the truth about who Jesus is. And Peter tells them, and it says something like 2,000 people, 2,000 men. It doesn't mention the women. Sorry, ladies. But at least 2,000 people put their trust in Jesus and they follow him. Amazing, right? Not so fast, because Acts chapter 4 comes around, and among the people that hustled up to see what Peter and John had done were a group of people that the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 are elders and religious leaders and teachers. They're people like me, but I'm a better guy than those people. No, I'm teasing. So they come up, and they feel threatened by what Peter and John have done. They're angry. And so they clear all the people out. They get Peter and John, and they take them away. They arrest them and put them in jail for the night, because they know if they confront Peter and John in the midst of this whole crowd, the crowd is likely to stone them or something, because they just healed a lame man who's been, you know, lame since birth. So they wait, put them in jail overnight. And then the next day, they bring them back. And the elders confront Peter and John, and they say, "By whose name and by what power did you heal this man?" I mean, don't you think if you saw that healing, you'd be saying, "Wow, guys, what's going on?" But no, they're angry, they're threatened. So they come at him fiercely. And when Peter is given a chance to speak, this is what happens in verse 8 of chapter 4. Then it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers and elders of the people. And let me just stop right there. You'll notice you're going to see that word "filled with the Holy Spirit" multiple times in the book of Acts. First time we saw it was Acts chapter 2, a few weeks ago. The Holy Spirit, for the first time, had come, baptized the disciples, and indwelled them forever. And he'd filled them and empowered them to do whatever the Holy Spirit wanted. In that moment in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit filled them, the disciples were enabled, empowered to speak different languages, 15 in all, to all the people that were in Jerusalem. And they proclaimed the good news of Jesus. And 3,000 said, "We are trusting in him. We're going to follow this Jesus that you've just told us about." This time, when the Holy Spirit fills them, though, they don't speak in different languages. Instead, they are filled with boldness and wisdom and the ability to articulate way beyond any of their own experience. And so here's what happens. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they said to the rulers and elders, "If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness that was shown to a man who was lame, and if we're being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel." Peter is, he's like saying, "You want a piece of me?" He's not really saying that, but he's saying, "You want to know, are you really asking me how this lame man got healed? Is that what you want to know? Because if you want to know, I'm about to tell you. You want to know that? You want to know about how he was healed and why we did this act of kindness?" Then he says at the end of verse 10, "Then know this, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Now, I'm like, who is this guy? This is Peter. Remember, he's the guy that when Jesus was arrested and taken to be crucified, Peter runs away. Peter denies that he knows Jesus 3 different times, but not now. Now, with the Holy Spirit living in him, now with the Holy Spirit filling him with power in this for this particular moment, Peter speaks with more boldness. He's more articulate and erudite than he's ever been in his whole life, potentially. And he says, "It's by Jesus." But he doesn't just stop there. In verse 11, he goes Old Testament on him, and he pulls up Psalm chapter 118. Where does a fisherman come up on the spur of the moment, confronted by the religious leaders? Where does this prophecy from Psalm 118, so how does that suddenly pop into his mind? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when he moves in you. And Peter says this, "Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, but he has now become the cornerstone. The stone that you thought was worthless has become the most important stone of the whole building. It's a metaphor here. Saying the one that you discarded, the one that you whipped, the one that you crucified is actually the Messiah, which means the chosen one of God who's come for the specific purpose of saving us. And then in verse 12, Peter concludes and says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to humankind by which we must be saved. Boom, mic drop. That's what Peter's doing right there. And these leaders and rulers and teachers are, listen, here's their thought in verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note. They took note. It suddenly began to dawn on them. Somebody whispered, and it begins to dawn on them. I imagine a sense of dread began to fall on these men. Oh my. These men can do this because they've been with Jesus. That's what happens. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey or your walk or what you think or why you're here today. Okay? But I'm telling you, when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as the leader of your life and you begin to follow him, he reciprocates, he responds by placing his spirit inside of us. And when his spirit dwells inside of us in the spiritual realm, we can do things that we could never do before. And the disciples did. They did things they couldn't do before. They did things they wouldn't do before. And one of the reasons why I think this is in the Bible is because you and I, we're just ordinary people too. But when we follow Jesus, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that indwelled the disciples, that filled them on different occasions, indwells and will fill us so that we can do things we wouldn't do before and things we couldn't have done before. You know, more than me just preaching. Like, I could go another 30 minutes. That's the time I've got. But I'm not going to. Instead, I want to share with you some stories of people who were ordinary people, but who now, filled with the Holy Spirit and following him, do things that they couldn't do before, do things that they would never have done before. And I want to start off with the Brandstetter Life Group. Brian Hannes, our Connections pastor, is going to come up, and so is most all of the Brandstetter Life Group. And here's what I'd like. If you've ever been on stage, you know it can be a little disarming or a little scary. So we want to give a big cheer for these guys. Let's give it up for them as they come up on stage. All these kids, come on. I'm glad you're here. I like your bow. Yeah. I'm going to turn it over to Brian. Let's tell this story.
Good morning, church. This is a time of celebration. Very excited. You know, we celebrate when a baby's born because new life comes, and that's a miracle. We celebrate when someone puts their trust in Christ and goes from spiritual death to spiritual life because that's God's working power on display in a person's heart. And we're celebrating these life groups birthing new life and multiplying because that is expressing the activity of God, the power of God, for ordinary people to say, God is at work, we're being changed, and we want others to experience this. So I'm going to let Bill Brandstetter tell the story about what God's been doing in their life group.
Morning, church. So we've been doing life together as a family of families for about a year and a half. And when we get together, it's not because we need another meeting in our life. It's because when we get together, Jesus is there. And we experience the power of God. And it has been so life-giving to us that we can't help but tell people about it and invite people. And so as we've done that, we've grown. I think this is like half of us. A lot of people went to First Service. But we got big. And Paul and Connie Metzhold have stepped up to take half the group. But really, yes. But really, we did this for you guys who are not in a life group. We wanted to make room so that you could come join us and experience the power of God with us. So I'm going to let Connie share some words.
Thank you. Good morning. We meet Sundays from 3 to 5 in the Stone Oak neighbor area. So if you haven't been connected, we're really nice people, and you'll really have a good time with us. I got a verse this week from 3 John, verse 4, and John is saying, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. And I love that verse because as believers, you know, we have to be together because we have the forces of darkness that want to try to tear us down. And what's going on in life group is encouragement and speaking truth over each other and ministering to each other. And even outside of the walls of our life group, there's ministry happening. We've only met a couple of times, and our sweet life group folks have done stuff outside of our time together to just minister to each other and bless each other. And so that's what happens. So I really encourage you, if you're not connected to a life group, to seek one out, because we need each other to go on this journey of faith, because the enemy would really like to tear us up. So get connected and experience the church, the blessing of being part of the body.
Okay. So ordinary people, extraordinary God. Amen? Okay, so if you heard them, this is not like us going, wow, look at these people. They're all so much better than us. No, this is us acknowledging the activity and the movement of God's Spirit in their lives, in their families, in community, in a way that they now want to share with others. Right? Okay, so what we do is we're going to extend a hand of blessing and pray God's power and anointing and commissioning over this group that many would come and experience what they're sharing today. Okay, let's do that for them right now. This is us being the church. So, Father, we come to you because you're our Father. You're a good Father. You're a faithful Father. And you want your children to know that they're loved. You want your children to know they belong. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Lord, we celebrate the truth that every person has value and meaning and significance in you, Jesus. That like we know that we're connected as a family because of the person and the work of Jesus. And so we celebrate, God, your Spirit, your resurrection power to bring new life and to multiply that out so that others might know, because salvation, it is in no other name other than Jesus. So, Lord, we pray that many might come and many might know and receive the life that comes and the joy that comes when we gather together. Even in the book of Acts, God, when your church started, they were gathering and they were being strengthened and built up, and then they were being scattered so they could be sent out to share this good news of hope and life and truth with others. So God, we pray blessing over these families. We pray these children would grow up knowing that this is just what you do in God's family. You gather and you celebrate what God's doing. You experience him and you draw others in. And God is good and he's faithful and he'll bless in that. So Lord, bless these families, bless these life groups, and give them your resurrection power to continue to be going out in love so that we might walk in the truth of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. If you want to see, if you're not connected, go to the Connection Center and check it out afterwards, okay?
Yeah. You know, like, there was a guy that came to me a few years back and said, you know, hey, Kirk, I've been meeting with the same dudes every Friday morning for the last 7 years. We meet, we do a Bible study together. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. It is really good, right? But let me ask you this. I mean, that sounds a bit like heaven, getting to hang out with your buds and learn more about Jesus. That sounds a bit like heaven, okay? But right now, Jesus is doing something in addition to that. He wants us to hang with each other. He wants us to encourage and spur one another on, but he also wants us to reach out and share his love with people who do not know it. And here's the deal. What is it that takes these ordinary people? What stirs up? What is it that causes ordinary people like them to say, you know what, even though we love one another and we love hanging out together, we're going to say goodbye to one another for the sake of creating more capacity for other people we don't even know to come and experience the love of Jesus too? What is it that impels a person to do that? They have been with Jesus, and they know what his heart is, and they know what he's after right now. In this day and age, he is seeking to reconcile people to God while they can be, while they're living, before they die and face judgment. Jesus wants them to be reconciled to God. And when you spend time with Jesus, like these ordinary people who were on stage, they're willing to release one another for the sake of the call of Christ to take his love to the whole world because they've been with Jesus. Let me tell you another story. I want to bring Morgan Gallion up on stage along with Chris Dillashaw, our student pastor. So let's give it up for Chris and Morgan.
You know, God is doing so many good things in our church. He really is continuing to establish his kingdom. If you know some things about our student ministry, you know a little over a year ago, we entered into a process with Ministry Architects to do some renovation work on our student ministry, to kind of reestablish some foundation to really help us move forward with what we felt like God was doing in our hearts, how God was leading us. And one of the chief things that came out of that was Ministry Architects helped us identify that we needed more full-time people on our staff for a church our size and for a student ministry our size. And so that process brought us Andrew and Maddie Fillingen in January, and that same process is now bringing us Morgan Gallion this May. And so we want to celebrate that today. Ministry Architects is a group that we are working with to they work with churches around the country, and they help us identify some things that we need to do a little better and some things that we do well. And one of the things that we needed to do was bring on some more full-time staff members. And I wanted to just share with you today that's really incredible, or that's really awesome for me to get to see our student ministry staff grow, yes, but it's really special to me that it's Morgan Gallion, because Morgan has been a part of our church for the last 9 years, and she grew up here, and she was a part of our student ministry. And so we wanted you to hear a little bit about Morgan's heart for our students, and specifically as she'll be working with high school students and with girls' discipleship. And so I want Morgan to share.
All right, so when I was trying to plan on what I was going to share with you guys to just put my passion for students in a nutshell, I was sitting at a coffee shop, and so I was taking a little break, and I decided I was going to clean out the notes on my phone, because if you have notes on your phone, you might have grocery lists from 5 weeks ago or codes from 3 years ago that you don't even use anymore. And so I was scrolling through, and I got to my very last note, and it was a note from July 2012, and I thought, why do I still have this? And so I opened it up, and the Lord began to remind me that it was on that day in Building A that I was sitting in Ignite as a sophomore in high school, and I remember the Lord speaking into my heart that he was putting me on a trajectory towards youth ministry. And me and my 15-year-old brain, I said, Lord, of course I'm going into youth ministry. I'm going to be a high school math teacher, and so I'm going to be with students all the time. But the fact that I'm standing here today and I'm walking into this job after graduation just shows how faithful the Lord is, and he finishes his promises that he established in my heart. And so I'm just so thankful to be here and be on this stage and talking to you. And so when I think about youth, and I want to put it in a nutshell of what I desire for them and what I want for them, the Lord reminded me in Philippians 3 when Paul says, he's forgetting what lies behind and he strains forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And so that's what I really want for our students. Yes, God is making us and putting us on a trajectory to constantly look like Jesus. but also we can go to a Blaze on Wednesday night and walk into our math class Thursday and not cheat on that test with my friend because the Lord has changed me on that Wednesday night. And so that's what I want for our students. I want them to see who Jesus is in a way that they can walk in freedom and walk in joy with what he has for them the next day to the next day. It doesn't have to be, I can be a different person when I go to college, or I can be a different person next semester. I can be who God's calling to me tomorrow. And so I just really want that for our students. And what that looks like practically is when I was in Ablaze, we had this thing called student staff, and we would help with games and things like that. But I want it to be a way where the Lord naturally builds up leaders within our high school, where we dig into the word and we answer hard questions. And by doing that on a Wednesday night, it's not about who from my life group's here, what songs are we singing, is the snack shack open? It's about who's walking into that door on a Wednesday night, and how can I show them Jesus, and how can I love them well where they love coming to Crossbridge and they love coming to Ablaze and they experience Jesus in a way where they can press on forward to the upward call that is Christ Jesus. And so I'm so excited to love on your students and walk with them and walk with your girls. And I'm just really expectant to what the Lord has in this new season. Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks, Morgan. I'm gonna ask Morgan to join or to take a spot right here in the front. And I need a few of you to just come forward and let's lay our hands on Morgan. And as we commission that life group, we want to commission her to this particular calling that the Lord has placed in her heart. And so if you're still seated, would you just kind of extend a hand in agreement with these guys? And I just want to give them a season to pray over her. Father, we're so thankful. We're in awe of what you're doing in our church, in the ways in which we get to celebrate you and celebrate all that you're doing as you're continuing to establish a kingdom here on this earth that we get to be a part of, that you include us in. And so, God, we thank you as a church. We thank you for Morgan. And we thank you for raising her up here and sending her away to Abilene to get an education and then bringing her back here to join our team, to minister to students and families. And so, Lord, we say thank you, and now we ask that you would bless her. We know that you have equipped her for this task, and we ask that your hand of blessing would be upon her for the ways in which she will minister to high school students and their families, and specifically to girls, and the way that she most importantly loves you, and the way that's contagious to people. God, we pray that you would continue to fill her up, to put on display your glory in and through her as she ministers to students and families. We pray a very special blessing on Morgan today. Would you shine your face upon her? In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Morgan. Hey, so let me ask you this. What is it? What is it that causes a 20-year-old woman to be able to get up on stage and speak with such passion and such authenticity? Morgan's been with Jesus. Morgan's put Jesus in the forefront of her life. The Holy Spirit's come into her. She's different. And I want to tell you, I got three daughters. One is older than Morgan, and two are just a little bit younger. They all went to high school together. But if my girls were little again, man, I don't want them to be around a woman like that. You know? I mean, moms and dads, you ever wonder why your kids do not listen to you? I'm not talking to myself, too. I mean, you know why children don't listen to their parents sometimes, especially when they get into those teenage years? It's because they see, and we did this when I was little, we view our parents as extensions of ourselves, and so we project upon them our own insecurities. And if I, as a child, don't feel like I know the answer to something, then you, as my parent, certainly don't know the answer to it, because you're just really a part of me. You're not a separate person. That's why, moms and dads, if you ever feel taken advantage of or taken for granted, it's only because you are being taken for granted. There's the good news. You're right. You nailed it. Okay? It's just the way it is. Now, you know, as you get older, you look at your parents differently. Okay? But that's precisely why we need Morgan. It's precisely why we need Drew.